Thank you, worship team. And as Andrew mentioned at the beginning of the service, just a wonderful, wonderful day outside, a wonderful day to worship together. And God has blessed us with an amazing spring. And we're grateful for that. And we're grateful that we can be able to worship together today and to hear some testimonies of faith as some of our young adults are following Jesus in baptism, and that's very, very exciting. It's always exciting when we see people taking their next steps of faith, and so in just a few moments, we'll hear from some of them. Baptism is an outward symbol of an inward reality. So when we baptize people in water, it's an outward symbol of an inward reality with those who have looked to Jesus as their Savior and Lord. These young adults are saying to you and to me, to us, that Jesus has forgiven them for their sin. They have been made new in Christ, and it's their desire to walk with Jesus moving forward until death takes them home. That's really a commitment that people are making when they declare their faith in Jesus and they declare it publicly through baptism. So as I was thinking about this particular Sunday and chatting with Pastor Craig and Pastor Ryan earlier about how we could encourage these young adults while also in challenging our entire Westwood Church family as we live out our faith together, because living out our faith together is really a community deal. It's not an individualistic thing. My thoughts turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, where I want to spend a few moments thinking about this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Several years ago, it was actually 3 years tomorrow. That's right, 3 years tomorrow, I had been witnessing my wife Leanne run several half marathons with some of her friends, and I determined one day that if everybody else wants to run with my wife, I am too. So I started to run with Leanne and a handful of other women. It actually became a Rob and the ladies kind of thing. But truth be told, I don't think that that group of women had much fun with a guy coming along, because it just felt like their conversation wasn't fully what it could be. And I admit, it felt a little strange being the only guy in the group. So we're training for the Run for Water, which was this half marathon in Abbotsford. And 21 kilometers is a fairly long way to run in a race. So we worked at it. And we worked at it little bit by little bit, and we increased our distance each week, and we're building up our stamina as we go. But it's a lot of work. You have to watch what you eat. You have to make sure that you're getting enough calories. And you have to be drinking lots of water regularly, which is kind of difficult when you'd rather be sipping a cold Coke and sitting on the deck out back. So about 3 months into this training, I felt that I had the stuff to run this 21 kilometers. So I registered a week before the event, and I started to mentally gear up for the race. The night before, we gathered together as a group. We had this big pasta feast. We got all carved up, and then we didn't sleep. We got to the park at 6:30. We stretched out. We started to watch this crowd beginning to grow. And at 7:30 a.m., we lined up for the start, which was a fairly sizable crowd, and we took off with the crack of the starter's gun. So there was these individuals who were super fast. They were at the front of the pack, and we never saw them again. They were gone. Then there were those who had goals to finish in 1.5 hours, And they had pace bunnies with them, with the bunny ears on and everything, to help them meet their goals. And there was those who were in the 1 3/4 hour kind of crowd, and 2 hours and so forth. We were in the 2 hour goal crowd. And then there were some who had entered the race for the basic goal of just wanting to finish. And for most people, finishing a half marathon is a pretty good goal. We took off, and we found our groove pretty quick. We were a few kilometers in, and I'm thinking, wow, like, I don't think I've ever ran this pace before, but it's feeling pretty good. We passed a lot of the people that actually had taken off before we had, and we found open space. By the halfway point of our race, our time was 52 minutes. And we're booking it. And I'm thinking, at this pace, I'm going to finish in an hour and 45 minutes. And some people think that, like, this long-distance running thing is hard, right? But what I hadn't really noticed, because it was really, really gradual, was that we had been running ever so slightly downhill for the first 10 and a half kilometers, and it was giving us this boost, both physically and mentally. Like, we were not only running faster, we were actually more economical with the fuel. And then, at the halfway point, at 10 and a half kilometers, something changed. We literally turned a corner from Riverside Road, which was totally flat, and on that race course was the equivalent of the bathtub drain. It was the lowest elevation point of our entire race at the midpoint. And when we turned right onto Farmer Road, we were no longer going slightly downhill. We started to climb hills. And the pace slowed dramatically. And the knees started to hurt where they hadn't been hurting before. And the lungs were laboring in ways that they hadn't labored in the first half of the race. And by kilometer 12, my wonderful wife, who had so faithfully trained with me all these previous months, now began to separate herself from me. She's carrying a few less pounds. She's been training longer and harder and doing more hills. And my competitive spirit within me is screaming to keep up, but my body is saying, I can't actually do it. And so from kilometer 13 to kilometer 20, it's this combination of climbing hills and striving to endure, and it was really, really tough to stay focused on the finish line. You get a really good sense of how I'm feeling around kilometer 19 as I'm climbing the last big hill toward downtown Abbotsford. Take a look at this picture. Not loving life. It absolutely felt the way it looks. Shortly after that picture was taken, when I reached the top and the course flattened out, there were people lining the streets for the last kilometer and a half, cheering the runners onto the finish line. There were several hundred meters to go, and all the people were shouting and screaming, and I actually found another gear, which was amazing. It was like, wow, like, these people are here to help me to the finish line. And then I heard the announcer call my number as I approached the finish line, 3:55. Whoa, what a great feeling. And here I am, like, crossing the finish line, looking a little better than just a kilometer and a half before. I had just done something I had never done before. I ran a marathon, a half marathon, in 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 58 seconds. Not a particularly fast time. I fell slightly short of my personal goal, but I also knew that more than how fast I ran, the more important parts of my run needed to focus on progress, direction, and perseverance. Progress, direction, and perseverance. I think the writer of Hebrews understood these kinds of dynamics as he wrote about one's relationship with Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You know, running a half marathon, or really any kind of running race, is really about putting one foot ahead of the other. Each step moving a little more closely towards the finish line. Some move at a faster pace while others are moving more slowly. Some need fuel ups every 8 kilometers while others can go a little farther without needing a little bit of gas in the tank. Do you know walking with Jesus is a lot like this? No two people in this room are going to have the identical pattern or pace as they walk and journey with Jesus. But it is about putting one foot in front of the other as you walk with him. And you're going to hear aspects about this even in the testimonies this morning. If I could encourage each of us, don't beat yourself up or guilt yourself into thinking that your spiritual race must be exactly like another person's. Instead, I want you to focus on progress, direction, and perseverance. Are you following the voice of Jesus? Are you walking or running in the race that he has marked out for you? Are you obeying his will? Are you taking the next step forward that Jesus is asking of you? Some of you are flying. Some of you are here this morning, and your walk with Jesus is probably pretty high. It feels like you're running downhill. It feels like you got the wind at your back. And you're quite enjoying your relationship with Jesus. I want you to praise God and enjoy this season of your life. It might not always be like that. But you don't have to feel bad if it is right now. Find great joy in your relationship with Jesus, in the race that he has marked out for you, if right now you are running downhill and things are looking really, really awesome. Let this season fill you as you fix your eyes on Jesus. You're making progress. But don't take your eyes off Jesus, and don't make it about yourself, and don't think that for some reason it's about you that life is so awesome. Give thanks and praise to Jesus. Others are here this morning, and you might be feeling like life with Jesus is one long uphill battle. And you're wondering whether there's going to be a rest station, like just a step or two ahead. Do you know, even on the tough uphills where things have slowed down and it doesn't appear like a whole lot is happening right now, you know, God's still at work. God's still at work. Maybe you're in a season right now where it's dry, or you're just plain tired and you're not sure what to make of it. What does progress look like to the person who finds themselves in this kind of a season? Well, progress for you might be simply getting up in the morning and choosing to stick with Jesus when it's tempting to walk away. That might be progress for you right now. It might be finding rest for your soul and your body, and you're so tired and you're so worn out and you're not quite sure if you have enough to take that next step. Maybe rest and Sabbath is what God is inviting you into, and that would be progress. Do you know that God told Elijah, after a very, very busy season of ministry, God told Elijah to take a nap. And he did. And then he got up and he ate and he took another nap. And God blessed it. For Elijah, in that season, that was what he needed. Jesus invited his disciples to place their burdens on him and not to carry it for themselves. And for some of you, perhaps unloading your cares and your burdens needs to happen so that you can make progress. It's not yours to carry because Jesus said he's willing to carry it for you. So rather than comparing your life to someone else, wherever you are in your relationship with Jesus, are you willing to run the race that's marked out for you, allowing Jesus to determine your next step and then to follow him in it? That's progress. But it's progress in a clear direction. And for those of us who have been walking with Jesus for a longer time, we know that moving toward and with Jesus is not necessarily a straight line or a flat course. There are hills, there are valleys along the way, there are obstacles and impediments that can really challenge one's faith. Like, can I get an amen for that, at least? Thank you. Do you know the original word used for race in our text in Hebrews 12 is agona? Let us run with endurance the agona, or the agona. The agona. Doesn't that word sound a little similar to an English one that we use, like agony? That's a little how I felt at kilometer 19. And I was looking for an off-ramp. I was looking for a way, an exit, that would somehow make my life a little easier in that moment. But an off-ramp would have changed my direction, and it would have led me away from, not toward, the finish line. And when I said yes to Jesus to follow him, and as I received him as my personal Savior when I was a 9-year-old boy on our family farm, and then when I publicly declared my faith through Jesus through baptism at 18 when I was about to graduate from high school, while I didn't fully understand it at either of those points, and because it's a journey, right? We're learning. I was also saying yes to staying on the course that was marked out for me, moving towards Jesus and not moving away from him. And there have been occasions where I veered off course, and thankfully by God's grace and by the conviction and guidance of God's Spirit, he has pulled me back on to the course to make sure that I get to the finish line. And I think of these young adults who are sharing these testimonies throughout the morning and the issues they face. You're going to hear some of their struggles. You know, staying on course, moving in the right direction with Jesus will mean that they stand firm in their faith convictions when their academic and their work environment will challenge those convictions. That's some of our young adult stories. In a world where our sexual identity has become a god, small g god, for many, staying on course and moving toward Jesus will mean that our young adults and all followers of Jesus Christ embrace a biblical sexual ethic in all their relationships. Anything less is veering away from Jesus, which becomes regression, not progression. Staying on course and moving towards Jesus will mean that in increasing measure, God's word will guide them in every aspect of their life. You see, direction matters. It mattered to the writer of Hebrews that the goal is to move toward Jesus. And then as we move toward Jesus in our spiritual agony, when the challenges arise and the hurt and the pain of life overwhelms, it's not about how fast you're moving. It's not even about whether you can see the finish line. It's about persevering through until the finish line. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's run with perseverance, with an enduring quality. Some of you here this morning have amazing stories of God's provision and comfort through the years. And along with that, you have stories of deep pain that have tested your ability to keep running. But you're persevering. Thank you. Thanks for being an example to the rest of us. Our younger people need to hear your stories. Those who are being baptized today need you. They need your prayer. They need your encouragement. They need your mentorship for them to stay faithful when their faith is challenged. Why can I say this with confidence? Because of the first part of that verse, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. See, in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter that precedes 12, there's these stories, this long list of people commended for their faith. There's Noah, there's Abraham, there's Jacob, Moses, Elijah, Rahab, David, on and on and on. People who lived through incredible personal, spiritual agonies. People who had been there before. People who didn't always understand everything as they lived out their lives in faith. They didn't always get everything right either. We need to understand that. But in faith, these people persevered, believing that God was leading them and then carrying them as they went. None of us here today know personally these ancients mentioned in Hebrews 11. But we can recall their stories of God's faithfulness, and we can embrace it as an encouragement for us to keep at it. And many of us here can think of people in our lives who are examples of endurance. Those who have persevered in their faith through all kinds of life experiences. Some of you here today, you need to know this because it's an encouragement. Some of you are witnesses of God's faithfulness to other people. You may not even know it, but there are people watching you. And they're saying, I see within that person an enduring spirit. And even in the midst of everything that they've gone through, they're still walking with Jesus. You know, both my wife and I, we're grateful to have godly parents. Very thankful. We don't take it for granted. They've been tracking with Jesus for many, many decades. Through it all, they've supported us. They've encouraged and prayed for us to keep running, even through the tough stuff. What a blessing to be able to stand on their faithful shoulders. You know what? I want to be a man who provides the same kind of enduring shoulders for my children. And I want to be a pastor who models faithfulness and perseverance for these young adults today and for our children and our youth and our young marrieds and our empty nesters and our senior citizens to keep faithful, to be one who is a spiritual example, cheering and supporting one another on. Can you imagine for a moment if everyone who claims Jesus as Lord at Westwood Church were to make a commitment, maybe even today, to be a spiritual example to one other younger person, supporting, cheering them on in their spiritual race, and then persevering until the finish line. What a legacy to leave. Wherever you are in your spiritual race, and whatever is before you today, my concluding thoughts are, would you fix your eyes on Jesus? He's the one who stands at the finish line of your spiritual agony. He's not only gone on before you, he has endured everything that you have or ever will. As the Alpha and Omega, as the beginning and the end, Jesus is the one who's the author and also the finisher of your faith. He started it. You're in the race because of what he's done. And when you cross the finish line, he will be there as he completes the work within you. Until then, may we encourage one another in our progress and in our direction and in our perseverance. So this morning, I want to invite Melissa Cook to join me. And Melissa is one of our young adults who has made a faith commitment to Jesus as a younger child. And she was baptized as a young teenager. Do you want to grab a stool? Maybe a little more comfortable. And today, she is inviting our Westwood Church family to become her church family, as she wants to be held accountable to you and you to her. And so welcome, Melissa. It's been good to get to know you a little bit over the last year or so.
Almost
a year.
Almost a year.
You got your mic on there?
Do I?
Okay,
yes, I
right.
do.
So welcome, Melissa, and we look forward to hearing your testimony today.
All right. So like you said, my name is Melissa Cook. I'm 29, turning 30 in less than a week. I have lived back in PG since August, so for about 9 months. I was born in Surrey, and through our church and a program called We College, I first accepted Christ when I was 3 years old. Fast forward 4 years, and my family left Surrey and moved here to Prince George.